Welcome to the jungle. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We start hour number two. We'll talk some football in a minute with a senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, Terrez Paylor. Next hour, Baltimore Ravens offensive tackle Ronnie Stanley will be joining us. We talked game one of the World Series already. I've hinted about the Clippers and Lakers. I need time to lay out both sides of that, and I will do so. In the meantime, call me now, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Clippers, Lakers. Did you watch that game last night? Where do you come out on the matchup? The 2019-20 season did kick off, and there are a couple of things I want to hit off the top, and I will do so. Also, quick reminder, it is Podcast Wednesday. Jim Rome Podcast, episode 101. Former NBAer Steven Jackson is going to be my guest. So a couple of thoughts about the NBA kicking off last night as I'm efforting my next guest. First off, the Toronto Raptors got themselves their rings, and they're really big rings, enormous rings. You better have some serious finger strength if you're going to put one of those rings on one of those digits, or your digit is going to snap. And I will go back to that momentarily. But as I mentioned, we are joined right now by a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Terrez Paylor is my guest. Terrez, good to have you on. How are you?
Jim, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on, man.
Good to have you back on. Appreciate the visit. Let me start with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is coming off a monster game. And as you've written, he's on pace to throw for more than 4,600 yards, 30 touchdowns, just five INTs. There was a lot of talk during the offseason about the relationship between Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. So what's your sense as to the nature of that relationship right now?
Well, I always thought it was interesting that, Rodgers has done so much winning in his career. Certainly he's got a certain idea about the way he wants to do things. And that happens with most of us, right? As we get older in our careers and we get more experience and we have success, we have a certain way we want to do things. And at some point, kind of what you need from a superior or a coworker or anyone you work with kind of changes, right? Well, I thought that's kind of where we were entering with Rodgers. And it's one of the reasons I thought that LaFleur had a chance to be a really good match with him. I had a chance to visit with LaFleur for about 15 minutes, a pretty good amount of time, in August. And I could just tell by his way, he was open to a lot of things. He's only 4 years older than Rodgers, you know, and I like the juxtaposition of his personality, which seemed pretty studious, pretty laid back, with Rodgers, who's opinionated, and he can be pretty funny, too. I like the fact he gives opinions, but I could just see those two working well together. And lo and behold, they're 6-1. There's new offense. Rodgers has really taken well to it, and I think they're a pretty good partnership at this point.
Terrez Paylor is joining us. All right, so what about Rodgers and that offense? What do you make of how he's playing in the offense? How does he look to you in that offense?
He looks great to me. Look, I think the Sean McVay offense is a pretty good baseline for a way to win in the NFL. Pre-snap motion, you do some RPOs, and you run play action. And then, I mean, just on its surface, a quarterback can win with that as long as you can run the football. Right? And the Packers can run the ball. Aaron Jones is a really good back. The Cowboys found that out a few weeks ago. Now, when you have just that in a scheme that can work when you run the football in and of itself, when you add that to the quarterback who has the Houdini-like quality, the rare X-factor gene of being able to escape the pocket, make things happen, make crazy throws, you get an offense that's really difficult to defend. And I just like the fact that it's a long season. Rodgers is 35. Because of the nature of the offense and the way it's schemed, he doesn't have to do everything. He can kind of save his guns for when he, his bullets for when he really needs it. And I just like the marriage of scheme and player here. And so far, they've gotten off to a start that justifies that faith.
Terrez Paylor is my guest. So they're playing really good football right now. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you've got a segment for Yahoo called Terrez's Tape. And in the latest episode, you focus on the Bears offense. Lots of blame to go around. Before we get into the details of Mitchell Trubisky, how much of the issues that they're having there on the offensive side is about coaching and scheme and people not named Trubisky making mistakes?
Right. So when an NFL offense is struggling, and this isn't the sexy answer, but this is real, Jim. When the NFL offense is struggling, it's never like black and white. There's always a shade of gray here. So most of the time, they'll all own a part of it. You know, this is the same scheme that worked last year. You know, like Matt Nagy, I covered him in Kansas City for 5 years. Trust me when I tell you, he is exceedingly competent. He knows what he's doing. I think that there's some issues starting off with running the football. They haven't been able to run the ball efficiently. They're averaging 3.4 yards per carry. That's not good. And that's not where it needs to be to help lift the quarterback who to this point hasn't proved he could be a Mahomes or a Watson and win by throwing the ball a lot, right? So that's a problem in and of itself. Get the run game going. These guys up front, establish the run. Maybe Nagy can do some things scheme-wise to help, but hey, start there. But from there, you look at the way Trubisky's playing. I did a deep dive on the tape, Jim. I'm telling you, he doesn't look like the same guy he was last year. And a big problem is that he's not running. Now, I don't know if that's because they told him, hey, don't run, don't create, don't do the second reaction stuff as much. I'd be a little surprised if that was the case because, again, I covered Nagy for a while. He encouraged Alex Smith to do that. But that was a big reason Trubisky made a lot of plays last year, Jim. It was. And he averaged 5 carries a game last year. Then he got hit by Harrison Smith. It dropped to 3. And this year he's averaging 1 a game. On Sunday, he didn't even run once. That ability to get out of pocket and be a playmaker and run around is something that makes him dangerous. And I think it gives him confidence, too. I'd like to see him get back to that if he can.
Terrez Paylor is my guest. Now, you mentioned you spent some time in Kansas City. In fact, you worked at Kansas City beat for 5 years. So how do you expect, changing topics, how do you expect that the team, the Chiefs, are going to handle Patrick Mahomes and his injury?
I think that they want to – I think they should play it smart. I think they should take it slow because this isn't just about 2019, Jim. This is about 2020, 2021, 10 years, 15 years down the line. You can go half a century without having a generational player like this. And believe me, I know. I grew up in Detroit, let alone that quarterback. Now, the Lions had Barry Sanders, but they never had the quarterback. So I think you got to be careful in a situation like this. Now, the flip side of that is the player is a complete warrior. I've been here in Kansas City. I still live here for the durations of Mahomes' career. And I'm going to tell you, the kid loves football. He's completely about ball. And he understands how important it is for QB1 to be out there on the field with his teammates. He's got that. Just like Favre, just like Stafford. Stafford has it too, right? He gets it. So he's going to be pushing a return as soon as possible. He loves the game of football. He's not collecting a check. He just wants to be out there with his boys balling. So the thing is that if the Chiefs have their way, maybe, you know, they kind of hold him out longer than he wants to go. But we already know he's a fast healer and a warrior. So, you know, that timeline, it wouldn't be a surprise to see it get sped up a little bit.
Yeah, so many times you got to protect these guys from themselves because they want to be out there so badly. Terrez Paylor is my guest. What about the 49ers? Now, when they were 2-0, there was a whole lot of, yeah, but who have they really played? Except now they're 6-0, and the defense is dominating opponents. How special is that unit?
Yeah. I wrote a column about this earlier this week. I hope people check it out. Their defense is one of the most fun to watch in the NFL right now. I do a lot of tape work. Love watching the All-22. I got it set up in my office with the projector and everything. I love it, right? And I'm telling you, watching the 49ers play defense, especially on passing downs and nickel, dime, that type of deal, is a lot of fun. And a big reason for that is that the investment they've made on the defensive line and the front seven has really started to pay off. Across the board, they have men that can beat you one-on-one with pass rush moves. Nick Bosa is the odds-on favorite to be the defensive rookie of the year. I'm telling you, the man's on pace to have 26 quarterback pressures at 21 years old. I mean, you know, that's something. 11 sacks, too. So Bosa's fantastic. D Ford, my guy from Kansas City, is only playing like 40% of the snaps, but as a designated pass rusher, he's been fantastic. Look, they can beat you up front in multiple ways. Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator who I wrote about earlier this week, it's kind of got a je ne sais quoi about him. right? Mainly because of the sideline yells and screams. And when you add that to the way they perform, that's the kind of thing that can get you hired. Their second-level linebackers aren't just good. They can run, hit, and cover, which isn't that hard. I mean, which is hard to find between Quan Alexander and Fred Warner. I really like those guys. And then the secondary is proven to be opportunistic. So, look, they haven't faced a difficult schedule, but they've gotten off to the kind of start that I think projects well in the future. And I think they've got confidence, and I think they're going to keep rolling.
Just rolling topics with Therese Paylor. We're talking NFL. You know, I had Pierre Desir from the Colts on earlier in the first hour. A lot of people, Therese, freaked out when Andrew Luck announced his retirement, but internally, the Colts seem to have a lot of confidence in Jacoby Brissett. How do you like that combination of Brissett and Frank Reich?
Jim, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't surprise me. One of my training camp visits this year was to Indianapolis, and I've also covered their general manager, Chris Ballard, because he's from Kansas City, right? So I can tell you this right now. You know, I heard in August, like, hey, you know, Brissett's a guy they really like. That's a guy that the most important thing to me that really stood out to me was that I heard that he teammates rallied behind him. Even before the Luck news came out, he's a guy that his teammates really play for. And I've covered this league long enough to know that that really matters, right? Like, you can – guys can go to an extra level when they're going to battle with a quarterback they believe in and want to see succeed. And I think that Brissett's a guy like that. So you take that aspect of it, combine with one of the best play callers in football, someone who's still underrated, in my opinion, Frank Reich, who is fantastic at scheming his offense to what his players do best. I'm not surprised they're off to this start at all. I think this is a team that's got a chance to win 10 games. They're going to be right there in the mix for that division crown with the Houston Texans. And I think in a lot of ways, the Colts are better off with Frank Reich. Like, they got one of the best coaches in football, a guy who, looking back, you got to look at the Philadelphia Super Bowl a couple years ago and how things have turned out and be like, man, you know, Frank Reich probably played a pretty big part in that, right? I think this is a team that's well-run. They have a ton of cap space. They have a ton of assets. Wouldn't be surprised to see him do something over the next week to maybe give him a boost as far as making a trade goes. Indianapolis is really well-positioned, not just this year, but for the next – 5, next 7 years, because they've got one of the best young offensive lines in football and a man who really knows how to evaluate talent in Chris Ballard.
Therese Paylor is my guest. One last thought then. You got the trade deadline coming up, and the Colts have got Denver this weekend. They just moved Emmanuel Sanders. Does it feel to you like a total teardown for the Broncos, and could you see them moving more players?
I could see them moving more players. You know, we look at a player like Derek Wolfe, for example. It's certainly Chris Harris, who's at the point in his career, he wants to win. You know, and it's hard for me to see a whole lot of wins coming to the Broncos at this point. You know, they looked terrible on Thursday night against the Chiefs. The Chiefs defense has struggled all year. They weren't able to put up much of a fight on that side of the ball, the Broncos offense was. I think this is a tear now. I don't see it. Like, I just don't see it coming together for them. I think they've got one of the worst passing offenses in football. I do like the running game. Like, I do like Phillip Lindsay. I love him. I love the guy. And obviously Freeman's a good player, too. I think that they just got to start this thing all over again. And that's okay. Like, you can rebuild a team in a year or two in today's NFL. But you got to realize where you are. You got to realize where you're at and, like, adjust to that. Trade some players for pieces and picks. You know, rebuild this thing and get ready to compete in 2021. Because Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. You better build a defense that can beat him, and you better make sure that you have an offense that can score with Kansas City in the AFC West as well.
He is a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. He is Therese Paylor. Therese, great job. Appreciate you. And it's always good to have you on the show.
Hey, Jim, thanks for the vine. You know, I've been listening for a long time. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you, too. Thank you so much. It's a good conversation right there. Covering a lot of ground, lots of NFL. All right, so Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, what do you know? Maybe there was never, ever serious strain or tension between those guys. Maybe it was always more smoke than fire. 6-1, he looks great, they look great. And then you've got the Bears. I mean, is this a surprise to anybody at all that Mitch Trubisky is not who the Bears thought he was? That Mitch Trubisky is not going to be Deshaun Watson? That he's not Patrick Mahomes? All right, when we come back, open phones to get you to the top. Also, I have to get into the Clippers and the Lakers. I've been trying. We'll do that when we return. So, clones, what do you do when you're craving some protein? Or maybe you need some energy. You need a pick-me-up. You're not going to get a power bar for it. You're not going to a sugary snack. You're not going to an energy drink. Now, you want beef. Pure and simple. Beef. So where is the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your old man's jerky. It's not shriveled. It's not dry. It's not tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak. Also quality spices. And they smoke it over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. So why is it so good? Because of the company behind it. Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef very seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein and comes in four great flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go. Look for it in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality that you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Once again, Sunday is an NFL and CBS doubleheader, starting with the Colts going up against the Broncos. We just talked about that. Kyler's Cardinals taking on the Saints. Followed up by the Browns and the Pats getting after it in Foxborough. It all gets underway with the NFL today at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific on CBS. 1-800-636-8686. All right, going back to Reggie. Reggie in Ontario jumped the interview. Reggie in Ontario called the program before he was ready to call the program. It did not go well for any of us. Reggie in Ontario. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Rome, I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm great, Reggie. What do you want to talk about? What's up?
I'm just calling in. I'm not in Ontario, California. I'm in Ontario, Canada.
Awesome.
Just calling in, listening to you on 90.5 Extra Sports FM.
All right, so thanks, Reggie. Next time you call. Next time you call, Reggie. That's how that call went with Reggie. Could not have been more awkward. Could not have gone worse. And Reggie, believe it or not, that hurt me more than that hurt you. And here come the email. Dear Jim, I can't believe you ran Reggie. He's my guy. Regards, Dead Air. Romy, I thought that tool from Ontario did a great job on the phones. Regards, Jack from Sacramento, hitting you up about the weather.
Jack, Sacramento. Nice to have you on the show. Jack, how are you?
Pretty good, Rome. How are you doing?
Doing great, thank you.
I'm actually in the 310 this morning.
Nice.
Yeah. What's up with this cloudy weather?
What's up with you calling me up to ask me about the weather? What do I look like? Dallas Rains? Do I look like Johnny Mountain to you? I love those guys. If I could do anything other than this, I'd want to do what they do. For two reasons. Good work, if you can get it. And secondly, they got the best names ever. Dallas Rains, and Johnny Mountain. Famous weather folk here in LA. And the best thing is, what are the chances that a guy named Dallas Rains would end up as a weatherman? It's absolutely amazing. It's an incredible name. Johnny Mountain. The problem with making calls like that, it hurts in the moment, but the clones never forget. That's Geoff and Lincoln resetting Jack from Sacramento, who made the call like, yeah, actually, I'm down in your neck of the woods, Rome. Awesome, Jack. What's on your mind? Hey, before I get to that, what's up with all the clouds in the sky? As I said, who the hell do I look like? Fritz Coleman? Take it up with them, man. That call was 10 years old, and Geoff still hasn't forgotten it. Which means 10 years from today, my boy in Ontario is going to be taking some still. Rome, I'm emailing from Houston, Texas, not Houston, Mississippi.
Our baseball team is the Astros. Matt in Houston. Reggie, you see what that guy just did? At Rich Micklebus tweets, Jim, I am typing this from Rosemount. Rosemount, Minnesota. Not Rosemount, Illinois. On my iPhone XR. How's it going? I'm fine. Anyway, what's up? Rack me! Reggie in Ontario. You can do better than that. I know you can do better than that. I don't know that he can do better than that, but I know you can do better than that. Take your best shot. Wah! Dear Rome, please reset Steve in Cincinnati's call. Mitch from Buffalo unwore Reggie on planet Earth. You see, this is what happens. You make a call that's unforgettable, and the clones will reset it and keep going back to it. Like, how many of you even know Steve in Cincinnati or the call that he made? Let's go to the Natty. Steve in Cincinnati. Good to have you, Steve. How are you?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Hey.
That's
that was fun. Rack him.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Rome, please reset Steve in Cincinnati's call. All right, so we've had a segment right now on what not to do if you're going to call the program. Now, this is why, unfortunately, this is why a lot of people are afraid to call the program. Because they're already afraid to call the program. They know that I've got several hundred affiliates and several zillion listeners. They know it's a big stage. They're already afraid. But they're even more afraid when they find out that if their biggest fear is realized and they impale themselves on the jungle wall, that all of you ghouls are going to rush in to murder them. This is why people are terrified to call the program, unless they're Matt in L.A. or Josh in Detroit or Parody Lawrence. Steve in Cincinnati, like, I had to think for a minute. Steve in Cincinnati, oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that guy. But you clones never forget. I'll try it again. The good news is apparently we're having an issue with our phones. But in the meantime, until I can hammer out that issue and figure out exactly what it is, I will give you that telephone number one more time. 1-800-636-8686. What? Robert in L.A. didn't want any of this, Alvin? Robert in L.A. Hey, Robert, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Doing great.
What's cracking? Sorry about that. I had you on speaker all of...
Yeah, go ahead. You're fine. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's up? This is Rob. Am I on the air? You sound like Jim Rome.
No. You don't like
Yeah, Robert, you've been on the air for like 5 minutes. Yes, Robert. You are on the air. I am Jim Rome. You and I have been talking like for 5 minutes on the air. You're still Robert in L.A. I'm still Jim Rome. And we're having this conversation live on the radio, on the air. Why would you not rush in to call this program? What's the worst that could happen? You'll say or do something really foolish that nobody will ever let you forget, and it will be reset 5 years, 10 years, and 15 years down the road. Other than that, what's the worst thing that could happen if you call this program? Hey, look, I'm not a bad guy. I'm not looking to run anybody. I'm not looking to embarrass anybody. In fact, I'm on your side. I'm here to pick you up. I'm not that guy. Man, I've got a heart. I care. I don't want you to have a bad experience. I'm not one of those guys who doesn't give a damn, who's rooting for you to fail. I want you to do well. I do not want you to have a bad experience. I don't want the callers to have a bad experience. I don't want people I interview to have a bad experience. I want you to think well of me in the program. But if you're not prepared and you show up and that's how that goes, I can't protect you as much as I want. And don't expect me not to call you out. Be ready. Know what you want to talk about. Don't be Robert from L.A. You don't sound like Jim Rome. Really, who do I sound like? You don't sound like Jim Rome. You know what I get a lot when I'm out and about? Happened a few times this weekend. Anybody ever tell you you look like Jim Rome? Yeah. My wife every day. My kids. Do you know why I look like Jim Rome? Because for better or worse, I am. Robert Nelly is like, dude, you don't sound like Jim Rome. Really, who do I sound like, Robert? When we return, I'm going to try yet again to talk Clippers, Lakers. This is what I get for trying so hard to take telephone calls. But I'm not going to give up on you, dopes. Clones. I will not give up on you. That phone number is still paid for. If the phones actually work, Hawk. I need an update on the phones. Anyway, I have lots to cover, including the Clippers and the Lakers and a few more things. But it is the bottom of the hour.
Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You want to make sure that you're taking the right vitamins, so get personalized daily vitamin packs delivered each month with GNC for you. Get started at GNC4U.com. That's GNC, the number 4, the letter U.com. GNC, live well. All right, so I've been trying to get to the start of the NBA season. Tipped off last night. A couple of thoughts off the very top. I started to mention the Raptors and the fact that the Raptors got their rings, and they're big rings, really enormous rings. So you better have some serious finger strength if you're going to rock one of those rings, or you might have a digit snap right off. They're that big. Secondly, the Toronto Raptors are not exactly dead, or should I say extinct. Hey-o! Not when you've got Pascal Siakam going for 34, 18, and 5 in 38 minutes. My man damn near went 30-20 in the first game. 34, 18, 5 in 38 minutes. So they're not dead. Far from it. They're not dead when you've got FVV going for 34 of his own and 7 assists in that 130-122 overtime win over New Orleans. They look good. They look really good, even without Kawhi. One more note. The Pelicans are still interesting even without Zion. And they'll be even more interesting when Zion comes back. But really, once Zion was out, New Orleans-Toronto was not the same matchup it was going to be. It was really more of an appetizer for Lakers-Clippers. And I've got lots to say about that I've been trying to get to. Let me start with this. There is not a Clippers-Lakers rivalry. It does not exist. There's no such thing. Stop trying to make it so. There is not a rivalry. Yes, I said it. I'll get to that a little bit later on. Here's the other thing from last night. The Clippers are not only good, they're better than advertised. Better than advertised. Seriously. As good as you thought they were, they're better. Now, I'm not here to hand out a trophy after the first night of the season. And it's ridiculous to say anything like the Clippers are going to win a championship after only four teams have played a game this season. But hear me now. Hear this. The LA Clippers are for real. They're legit. They're scary. I mean, straight scary. And I'm not talking about the win over the Lakers last night. They could have lost that game, and I would still be saying the exact same thing about them that I am right now. Because what I'm talking about literally has nothing to do with the scoreboard. That's not what I'm talking about. The scariest thing is not even Kawhi Leonard going 36-5 in his first game as a Clipper. And it's not that he had that performance despite getting off to a slow start. I'm not hyping the Clippers right now, even based on what he did. And it's not because Kawhi was doing things like this.
Kawhi, shot clock at 3. Caldwell poke defend. What a shot!
This dude, man.
I mean, that was impressive, but that's not why I'm hyping them. And I'm not hyping them because Kawhi did this.
Uh-oh, back up. Here comes Howard! He did it with the left hand! Leonard puts it in. Kawhi Leonard with that beautiful jam.
And it's not the fact. I'm not hyping them because they look like they were going to get run right off the court in the opening minutes, and they came back to win that game by double digits. I'm not even hyping them because of the crazy depth that they have, all the shooters they have, the guys and length defensively that they have, or the fact that their bench amazingly outscored the Lakers 60-19 in the bench play, or that they did all of that without Paul George, although that is pretty freaking scary. No. If you're not a Clippers fan, here's the scariest thing about the Clippers. they're still the Clippers. Not the Clippers of old, but the Clippers from last year. The Clippers who gave Golden State all they could handle in the postseason. The Clippers who would go chest to chest with you and jaw with you and not give an inch. The Clippers who would never back down. What I'm saying is they're still nasty. And they still bring that nasty every single night. Hell, every damn time up the floor. Same as they ever were, except with even more of that. And that team was right back out there last night on the floor. Difference being, now they have the finals MVP. Now they have arguably the best two-way player in the world. And soon they'll have another legitimate MVP candidate. I mean, I think it was fair to ask. You knew they had that grit and they had that grind. But what was going to happen to that mentality if you add a couple of MVP candidates? What happens when you add a couple of superstars? And is that going to mess with who you've been, mentally and physically? Apparently not, because they still look like they're looking for a fight on every single possession. That, to me, was the biggest story from last night. Not that the Clippers won. It's that they didn't skip a beat. They added Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and the team's personality didn't change. These are still the Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell Clippers. Like, I know that Kawhi and Paul are the superstars, and it's their team, but their attitude is all Beverley and Harrell. That's why that team is so lethal. That's why they're so scary. That's why they're so dangerous. Because you're adding a couple of superstars into a group that is still the same psychologically. That still has that same mentality. They still have that chip on the shoulder. Us against the world. We will go with you anytime, anywhere, no matter who you are. I mean, like, one thing to have that attitude and that edge if you've been overlooked, or if you're looking up at other people, or you're an underdog. Entirely another, though, to maintain that same attitude when everybody is looking at you, when you're one of the favorites to win it all, when you've got that giant bullseye on your back. All of that's true now, and apparently they haven't changed at all. If anything, I think they've gotten nastier. And why wouldn't they? You still have Pat, and you still have Harrell. Did you see Pat last night? Did you see Patrick Beverley going up and down the bench, yelling or during a timeout and yelling at every single guy on the bench, whether they were playing or not? Pat Beverley. This guy's amazing. I cannot get enough of him. It's October. It's game one. And my guy is showing up like that? Pat Beverley, treating it like a finals game in June and not the first game of the year in October. Because Patrick Beverley treats every day like it's a finals game in June. Treats every possession like it's late in the fourth quarter of Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Like, my dude not only treats every possession like that, he treats every moment of his life like that. That's just his deal. That's how this dude shows up every damn day. And that's how that team showed up last night. Even down to Kawhi Leonard blocking Dwight Howard.
LeBron.
Oh, what a pass.
Look at the backside block here by Leonard. Because Palmer can't believe his eyes.
So good. Look, again, I know it's only one game. I know it's one game. I know there will be bumps in the road. But this is not a team, apparently, that needs time to get on the same page. They're already on the same page. And they're still short one MVP candidate. The Clippers did not show up like the team that'll be a one in the West. They showed up like a team that was an eight in the West. And they showed up looking to fight everybody for everything. Like, they're not looking to be crowned. They're looking to dot some I's. They're looking to let their hands go. They're looking to knock some chumps out. And that's exactly what they did to the crosstown suckas. And that should scare everybody in every other town and not just the Lakers. They're the same, except nastier. They're the same, except better. And that's the Kawhi Leonard you thought you were getting. He starts off slowly, misses a couple of shots, turned it over a couple of times, didn't matter. Then hits seven in a row, turns the game around, and is the stud that everybody knew he was. Dear Jim, the Lakers look slow. They need to get younger, much younger. Signed, D. Quaid. Drew in West L.A. Drew, since you have a tape of everything I've ever said, go back and listen to the tape of yesterday's last segment. Dear Jim, is badly, is all the kooks in Boston, New York, or wherever else want L.A. to be Eclipse Town? It never will be. Nosebleed seats for last night's Clippers home game were $250 on StubHub. You can get into their next game for $6. The Lakers have more championship banners than the Clippers have fans. So congrats to them for beating a Lakers team that brought back like two players and zero coaches from last year. Lakers will get them back at Christmas. Brett from Bugaha via LA. My takes are in ink and my car flags are cemented. More me dropping straight sports knowledge like Quaid drops Vixens over 30. Hey, we'll see, right? We'll see. It was a Laker house last night, and it didn't matter at all. 1-800-636-8686. Who's on line three, Hawk? Had to refresh my screen. It didn't show up. All right, let's go to Sacramento. Nate, good to have you, Nate. Hey. How are you?
I'm good, Ron.
What's up, Nate?
What's going on, Ron?
What's going on, Nate?
Man.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Adam, put your headphones on really quickly. I got a question for you. They just can't wait to the break. So are we having an issue with the phones? Is there a delay? Can they not hear me? Or did he just go like his dude from Ontario? Like, how does that happen after all that?
I don't know, because he talked to me just fine. I don't think we're having an issue with the phones at all. He had a really Laker fan take about how the Lakers are still the best no matter what. It was going to be a really fun phone call because it's classic Laker fan. But he just did what Reggie did and forgot to talk when you went to him and said hello three times.
But see, the problem is, though, I've got multiple callers on hold, and that's the one you directed me to. Therefore, it must have been the best one. How does that guy show up like that if you thought it was the best one? And why did you think it was the best one?
Because a lot of these guys are different with me than they are with you. As soon as they hear that noise.
It's because they don't respect you or like you.
That's true. And they respect and like you. And when they get on the air and they hear that noise, they
just
completely
melt. My respect and my admiration for you is diminishing by the second. What the hell is going on here? That's your job to screen them out and get them ready. Quote, here's another one of your favorite terms. Warm them up. Why was he ice cold? Why was he not ready?
We had spoken like 5 minutes before you went to him. I don't know why he would be listening to you talk about something he wanted to talk about and then all of a sudden disappear like that.
Right. So in other words, you're not doing your job. Thanks for nothing. All right. Listen, one more thing about being a caller on the program. If you're on hold, there's no rhyme or reason. Some people stay on hold, and I'm not kidding, for weeks at a time. But I might come to you in a matter of moments. Every single day, I have enough content to do a talk show by myself without a co-host for 3 hours and no calls. That's not hyperbole. I've done this. I've proven it. I can go an entire day without a phone call on the air. I could go an entire week without a phone call on the air. I've done this. I've done it to prove my point. So what I'm saying to you is, if you're on hold, prepare yourself because it might only be 5 minutes. It might only be 2 minutes. It might be 5 months. I don't know. It just depends how I'm feeling in that moment. Just know that I've always got content, and it's a decision that I'm going to make. Now, sometimes it's not a good decision because Hawk will be like, oh, that's your guy right there. Go to line three. Go to Nate. Go to Sacramento. It's a great Laker fan. But I think the thing about Nate was, and the reason I'm laying it out like this, I think he was not ready. I caught him off guard. I went to him, and he's like, hey, Rome, am I on the air, Rome? My message to you, man, be ready. Be ready. I'm going to come to you sooner than you think in some cases. Just be ready. And listen to the show. If it's a day where I'm taking telephone calls, you can tell I'm in the mood to take telephone calls. Ronnie Stanley joins me next. I know he'll be ready. That's next. Stay tuned.